Before we get into the show, we want to let you know we're really excited to have a sponsor, Ben & Jerry's, one of the most delicious and conscious companies out there. Ben & Jerry's collaborated with Fish and the Water Wheel Foundation to create a limited flavor, It's Ice Cream, which is a caramel malt ice cream with almond toffee pieces, fudge fish, and a caramel swirl. The fudge fish from Fish Food lives on in an even more delicious way here. This ice cream, you can't find it everywhere, but you can get it online, and you can also get a t-shirt that was designed by Jim Pollock, the cover art for It's Ice Cream, designed by Jim Pollock as well. A portion of the proceeds of the ice cream and all the proceeds of the t-shirts are donated to the Water Wheel Foundation. So if you go to store.benjerry.com, use the promo code OSIRIS, you can get free shipping on all orders over $50 for the rest of the year. And, you know, if you know Fish fans who you're buying gifts for at the holidays, maybe It's Ice Cream and an It's Ice Cream t-shirt would be a good gift. So go to store.benjerry.com, and we want to just say thanks to Ben & Jerry's for being part of the OSIRIS family and for supporting us. So go to store.benjerry.com, use the promo code OSIRIS, get yourself some ice cream and some t-shirts. Hey everybody, it's Helping Friendly Podcast. This is episode 144. This is RJ. I'm here with Jonathan.
Hello.
Matt. Matt's very sick. And do you guys have an update on where Brad is this time?
He's fucking here.
No, what? No, that can't be right.
Hey. Hey, there he is.
Oh, hi, Brad.
Oh God.
From behind the curtain.
Here he is. Looking
what's
as
up?
Beautiful
what's
as
up,
ever.
Everybody?
Beautiful as ever. Brad, thanks for...
Only the Plus members know me.
Yeah, thanks for quarterbacking HF Pod Plus last week.
Oh, it was fucking big
like
time.
A boss.
It was
like,
big time.
You were like the Brady Quinn of HF Pod Plus, you know?
is that a sports ball reference?
I think so.
Should I know this one?
No, like probably not. Matt, you're sick. Everyone's sick after Thanksgiving. Everyone spent too much time with their families.
Yeah,
and
I'm
too
fine.
Many kids.
The moral of the story is
healthy.
The moral of the story is don't spend time with your family around the holidays.
Yes, yeah, it'll make
you
sick.
You're gonna get sick. Just when you think you've battled off the Wook flu and every strain of everything that's gone around your child's daycare, in come the relatives from another state with a whole fresh set of germs for you.
Wow, that's close analysis. But that's probably actually what happened, huh?
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
I think it's like the Midwest, all you weirdos, like in the Midwest, Delmarva region. You know
wait,
what I mean?
Wait, those are some, very different places.
No, I mean, they're pretty
very
close for me out
places.
Here in the desert. Because in
I'm
the
sorry.
Desert.
You're the one who's far flung.
It's too dry to get that's a cold true. In the desert. It's too dry. Yeah. The heat is just so dry. So we're going to go.
I have no family around, so it's amazing.
We're going to go back in time this episode, back to the days when the four of us just talked about fish, and that was awesome. We're going to talk about a show from 1998, but before we do that, what's going on in the fish world this week or this past couple of weeks? Is anything happening? Matt, you and Jonathan are always on top of all the stuff. Jonathan, you have a thing?
I finally was able to purchase Slips to Chinta Pass on vinyl.
Nice.
And then promptly hand it to my wife so she can wrap it up and put it under the Christmas tree. So I will, in another 4 weeks, I'll get to listen to it.
Oh, man. So you really didn't open it?
No, I didn't. It's a legitimate system that we have wherein I buy Christmas presents that I will like.
So I did that with a Jerry doll for my office. You know, a doll, I guess, is kind of a stupid. But it was a $6
hey,
add-on in Amazon.
Not gonna judge you. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck yeah, $6. It's usually 12, and I've been looking at it forever. And I'm like, I threw it on there, and now it's in the guest room with the kids' presents, and she's just going to wrap it up for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like that you've been following the price of the Jerry doll just to see the fluctuations.
I mean, come on. Of course.
It dropped 2% this last week.
Yeah. Matt, did you get the slip stitch and pass?
I did. I've actually had mine since Curveball. I was just...
Wait,
kinda,
what the fuck?
Kind of similar to Jonathan's deal. I said, no, I'm going to put it away and I'm not going to listen to it until the rest of the world does. But no, I went out to my local store on Friday. Shout out to Crooked Beat Records here in Alexandria, yay, Virginia. Picked up Slip Stitch and Pass, and it's good. I think the most important part is sound quality. It sounds great. Not like a huge improvement over the CD because it is a digital recording, and just an okay one at that. But I do think I compared it to the digital release. I think it sounds better. I think the Chris Bellman at Bernie Grumman Mastering did a fantastic job again.
I was hanging out with my friend Macon on Friday, and he mentioned that he loves Slip Stitch and Pass and always listened to it, and that it's like it's not on Spotify or any of the others anymore, but it used to be. And I thought that was sort of weird. And I don't know if that had anything to do with this or if it's been off for a while, but do you guys know?
I suspect it'll come back, a remastered digital version, just as a lot of these, when the reissue is done, they
slip. So they out rotate out and then, okay.
But it is still available on Livefish.
Of course.
If you subscribe to that.
Well, everyone should subscribe to Livefish, livefish.com.
It was a wonderful release when it came out. I loved it. It was like the new Alive one. It was smooth and the transitions and all that stuff. So I'm excited.
And that was the best part of the whole thing. I mean, sitting and listening to it the other day, I have not listened to Slip Stitch and Pass in maybe 10 years. And it's really good. The show in general is great. They picked a really good selection of music on it. You almost forget. I was the same way. Like when it came out, as with the show that we're going to talk about on the episode here today, one of those things that I just like had in my Discman and would listen to on repeat for days at a time. And
Discman.
And another show with a killer Weekapog that we'll get into talking. So
two things. First of all, you forgot that I'm seeing Trey and Mesa, Arizona.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the M stands for Mormon. And it is, I don't know, half hour from the house maybe.
Wait, doesn't it actually just stand for Mesa?
It stands for table. But there is there is a Trey show at the Mesa Arts, which is actually great. I've been there before, the Arts Center, and it's just him and his acoustic, so story time. Should be
that's awesome.
Wonderful. That's the third, right, Jonathan?
Yeah,
you corrected me before.
It's a little Western swing for Trey. Opening night. Honestly, except that Instagram ads keep popping up to try to sell the tickets. I guess.
I think it's a it's not a super small place. It's a pretty good size, like double decker theater with comfy seats. So everybody was sitting, but I don't know if it's sold out, but I know that we're like ticket alerts or whatever. So that's exciting. And then, I guess that's That'll all the news fun. I have. Yeah.
There are more Mike Gordon shows in March, including one in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where we'll be seeing Mike play at the 9:30 Club, right, guys?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was Richmond, Virginia.
No, not Richmond, Virginia.
Nope. That's the Commonwealth's capital. Jonathan's
correct.
Jonathan's Commonwealth. So that's cool.
Commonwealth of Jonathan.
Commonwealth of Jonathan. There's a lot of concerts coming up, which is cool. So do you guys want to talk about a Fish show, or should we just keep talking about the things that come to our minds for the next however many minutes until we fall asleep?
I think we should not talk about the music for a while. I think we should put that off as long as is reasonable.
I like to watch RG get agitated.
Hey, I'm here for the listeners, Brad. I'm just here for the listeners. So, all right, guys, we're going back in time. It feels like we've spent the last 5 months or so talking about 2018, which makes sense. But now we're going back, and we're going back to 1998, a show that I think tomorrow will be the 20-year anniversary from the recording. I think when you hear this, it'll be the 20th anniversary in one day. But regardless, we're going back 20 years to the fall 98. So I don't know how much you guys have listened to fall 98, but it's interesting because this tour, there's only two official releases. There's Halloween and then this show that we're going to talk about. And the fall tour started on the West Coast. They did the Loaded cover in Vegas. They went through the Midwest and the South. And I think the Midwest shows were sort of the best shows of that tour, which we can talk about. But then they played at Hampton and then the Northeast and ended this 3-night run in Worcester. And we're talking about the first night, 11/27/98. So when we started talking about this on the internet, the four of us, we immediately started disagreeing about the show, which is great. But this is only This is only two, like one of two shows released from 98, like I said, but it's also Live Fish number 6, right? When they were actually doing Live Fish releases.
It's actually, I mean, they officially released the Halloween show as well as the Hampton and this one. So that's at least three.
Okay, whatever.
If not more, if you count the individual Hampton shows.
I'm just going to keep going back to my notes because my notes are right. Okay, Hampton Comes Alive came out in 99, but it doesn't matter. The point is there's not a lot of 98 shows out there. This is one of them. This show is interesting. Why is this show a Live Fish release and not Van Andel or one of the Chicago shows or another show from Fall 98? Matt, that's what I want to know.
Or the 25th.
I think, the Live Fish CD series in particular, because they basically had, you know, their entire catalog of shows up to that point to work from and could, you know, put out whatever they want. I think they were going back to things that felt good to them, shows that where they felt like things were working. And as we've discussed in the past, what they feel is working and what we feel is working is not always the same. Now, I'm just putting that out there because I know that you have a less than stellar opinion about this show. I happen to think this is an incredible show. Maybe the best show, one of the best shows of Fall 98.
Ever.
And this was, as I mentioned, we were talking about Slip, Stitch, and Pass when these CDs came out. This was one of the first ones that I got and just listened to it like crazy, to the point where when I listened to it in preparation for us to talk about it here, I don't think I had listened to it in, you know, maybe close to 15 years because I just played it so much back then. And every note of it is still just ingrained in my memory. Things were coming back to me, you know, that I had almost forgotten about. So I think it's a killer show. And what I get from is that I see the band having fun and feeling connected and being in that mode where they can just sort of pivot on a dime and do whatever they want, as we see a lot of in the second set. But what I want to know is why you don't love it.
He thinks nobody cares. Nobody cares. I just like this.
But first of all, I don't. Jonathan's not going to get out of this because he said something about this show too. So it's not just me. But Brad, you go ahead.
I think the first set, and I think it's timely for this reason. The first set is incredible. I think the first set is up there. It's top notch. And that lends to 2018 because we've heard so many great first sets in 2018, or at least jams in 2018. And then set two is kind of kitschy. It's kind of kitschy. It's got that MPP vibe with the tweezer sandwich and the chalk dust torture into something out of something. The Buffalo Bill in the middle of the second set. And I'm not downplaying any of that. I think it's wonderful. I love to listen to it, but I don't think it's a, it's not a go back to as far as amazing jams, the second set. It's a go back to because it's fun, right?
Did you say it's kitschy or catchy?
No, kitschy. It's not
okay,
kitschy.
With a K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. With a K-I, right? Isn't that how you spell it? Yeah,
I think it
so,
is.
So to me, it's the second set. And look, it's something to prove Jonathan wrong with, the Buried Alive in the second set. Right, to start the second set, isn't your whole thing? This is what's on your gravestone. Buried Alive shows are amazing.
Buried Alive, like, show openers,
right?
Set for Vegas 04.
Wait, you never said that before. You just
actually, I think we could probably go to some recorded evidence if you really wanted to.
No, nobody cares. Just
it's
like
weird that it's weird that Jonathan's
up your facts just like RJ, huh?
I think it's just weird that Jonathan's headstone is already created, and Brad's seen it. It's
really I got a deal on it.
I've got it out, yeah.
Yeah, I got this thing in the mail.
On Amazon.
It was an Amazon add-on.
It was an add-on.
So, all right, here's the deal to me. Like, Fall 98, the ambient, like, jams are what Fall 98 is all about. This show, there's not a lot of, like, great jams. There's a few, and we're going to listen to them and talk about them and appreciate them. But I just, like, I've never really gotten this show, maybe because of what Brad was describing, like the hijinks are always fun, but like I don't go back to the Tweezer Fest 2014 that often. I was there, it was great. We had an awesome time. But it's not like something that I would go back and listen to on a weekly basis. I'm in for like the Van Andel Haley's, you know, the 25 minute exploratory nonsense, you know? Like this, so I think that's why I don't love this show or go back to it very often. But I think we've unearthed some gems to remind people. If anyone has, if anyone agrees with me, then they won't after this episode.
I think so. The other thing that I failed to mention is to me, a little bit of 97 comes out a lot in this show, where there's a lot of downbeat. There's a lot of, whether it's Trey, like muting the strings and kind of joining Mike or Fish's downbeat. And to me, that kind of is the funk of 97. And I maybe it's just it's nothing, and I'm off base, but it goes to your ambient jams point, RJ. It's not there mm-hmm. in this, right?
Yeah, there's a couple moments, but yeah, not a ton. I don't know, Matt. What do you have anything to say about that particular point? Because I'm curious what you think about that. The 97 versus 98, particularly.
Yeah, and I definitely like 97 more than 98. I feel like in both years, they kind of had a go-to style of jamping, as they would in other years like 99, but 97, the funk was a little bit more interesting, a little bit more conducive to going cool places. A lot of the 98 stuff starts to sound very similar to me, but you've got a couple of great examples of that, if that's what you're looking for in this show, that we'll cover. I like shows like the Tweezer Fest, the MPP Tweezer Fest that you were just talking about. I've mentioned this on the show before. Like, I really like callbacks and kind of continuity to a set that tells me that they're thinking about creating a start to finish piece instead of just hacking away at mm-hmm, some jams. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great example of that. The way that they integrate Wipeout throughout the second set. Yeah, it's kind of it's a jokey kind of moment, but they get in and out of it really, really fluidly, which they don't always do. Sometimes when they're doing something like that, they laugh a little bit too much, or they catch themselves off guard and they don't execute well. Here they do it really, really well. Let me ask you for comparison. To me, this show is kind of like a sibling to the Moby Dick show from Deer Creek in 2000. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that show?
Yeah, I don't go back to it a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Maybe
it's funny
because
they're both fishmen. Centric, right? Obviously, Wipeout and Moby Dick.
Yeah, well, people who are listening should tell us if am I in the minority or, well, you don't have to be in either. That's what Jonathan's going to say. All Fish is great, and it's always fun to listen to Fish.
Except
going to
Fish
shows is great.
Except when it's just horrible. Like, apparently, this show is listening to you guys. I mean, even Matt, who's the big proponent, is like, yeah, you know, I like 97 better. So, what are we doing here again?
Oh, yeah, that's a breaking take. Oh, let's like 97 play some, more than yeah.
let's play a jam. You guys
I
think we should
like
play a jam?
I actually like 98 better, honestly.
You do?
That's a breaking take. Oh, yeah, God. Typically, I do. 97's got some cool stuff. 98's got some really cool stuff. This isn't what I go to for it, though, kind of like what RJ is saying. I do like some of the things that happen in this show, and it is fun, and yeah. It's definitely, you know, rocking, and it is a Fishman show, and I think that's killer.
It's got a proper Mike's groove.
I feel like I probably wore this show out like Matt did when it first came out, and so I did not. I have not been back to it in a long time, so listening to it for this, it's fun. At first, I was like, why are we doing this? And that's exactly what I wrote to you guys earlier.
Yeah.
That RJ was alluding to. Like, why are we doing this show? And I hear why we're doing this show. I got to that part. But yeah, let's play some music type music.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, we can check out some of the end of that Yamar, which got extended a little bit and probably has some of what you guys were looking for in the 98 sound. Thank you.
So that was the Ymar from 11/27/98. And you know, we were talking about Jonathan bitching before, just like always, but an 11 minute Ymar, you can't ever, I mean, I don't care when you get it or where you get it. Like this is what I'm looking for in life. It didn't like go type two, it didn't explore, but I'm sure you guys agree that it was fun. And the third, what is third? Yeah, third, or yeah, no, second song of the set. Yeah,
all this talk and we're two songs in.
Well, yeah, Brad, I know you love Ymar, and this is a really, really good version. They're really, maybe one of the reasons, going back to our earlier discussion, I think this song helps highlight how they were feeling that night. You know, the band is just super tight, and the jam is just, it's really nice, but it just feels very focused. And Trey and Paige are just, they're like back and forth. It's just really amazing. It really highlights the 98 sound.
Trey's call to Paige was amazing, right? He was like super excited about it. And then when it got to Trey's part or jam or solo, it seemed like he stayed in the middle of the neck a lot. And I think you said, RJ, in your notes that it was warm. I really liked as he was, you know, he was just kind of there the whole time. So, yeah.
Matt, what do you think about this?
I dig it. I mean, we've heard other Ymars like this, where they extend it a little bit. It usually sounds something like this, but it's fun. It's light, especially early in the show. You can kind of put yourself in the vibe, in the indoor vibe in the fall of everybody kind of settling into the bouncy rhythm. Probably this would have been a Black Friday show, shaking off the turkey and the remaining tryptophan, getting into a trip of a different type, perhaps, in this thing. I will say one of the things that I noticed about this show overall is the tempos are way up. Definitely a jovial mood going on, and I'll touch back on that a couple times as we talked about some of those jams, but this is definitely one where it's a very speedy Ymar. Jonathan, what'd you think?
I liked it. It was cool. I was,
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I like the Runaway Gym. I don't know. Yeah, it's cool.
I think your live tweets or texts, Jonathan, you were still ambivalent as the Reba started. So we could start talking about the Reba, or at least maybe just go listen to it.
Well, it was I'll correct you only in that it was during Runaway Gym that I first started writing to you. And then I got to the kind of the good bit in Runaway Gym. And which doesn't really extend. It's not, you know, a significant version of that song, but that's not true. But it's nice. And I was like, okay, I'm feeling it now on this show, and feeling there's something. And then, then I like the Reba. So we're gonna play the Reba.
Yes,
we are.
Listen to Reba. Thank you. So that's a little song about a witch. And it's not the Stevie Nicks type. This is a little bit more of toil and trouble, whatever it is, type. It's a really good Reba, 16-minute Reba. I noted a second ago when we were talking about Yamar, the tempos, which I think holds true in pretty much everything in this show, especially the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight. The Reba is surprisingly laid back, given that fact. Fishman never really escalates things dynamically on the drums. He really stays back on the ride cymbal. That kind of never pushes Trey to really go forward. So I think the Reba is one of those songs where they're trying to get from point A to point B, and they take their time getting there. And it's a very, very sort of slow kind of linear path that they take to get there. There's no, you know, dips and turns and stuff like that, like you hear in a lot of Reba, which makes it unique. And I really like that. I forgot about how great this Reba is. RJ, I see you nodding your head in a lot. What do you think?
Sorry, I was watching TV. I think this is like the linear, slow, I guess to me, that's like that ambient sound, especially from Trey, not necessarily spacey, but like the actual musical part was just, yeah, not like pretty slow and measured, but also just like really, really nice. The sound, like Trey's tone during this show, this tour in general, but this show is just great. I just really like this Reba, not like a soaring, you know, Reba jam, like what you would put into your ideal Reba, but it's interesting. And, like you said, pretty long, and, it was a fun ride. Jonathan, did you think that after making your way through it begrudgingly?
Yeah, I'm going to get technical on you guys here. So I really dug the shit out of it. I mean,
good.
I actually stopped all other things and listened to the jam, and that's my ultimate and very technical takeaway.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you guys think that any like, so, okay, Reba, I think people would mostly say like early 90s are the best sort of years for Rebas, right? 93, 94, 95. Jonathan would probably say 95. But do you think do you guys have any thoughts on that? Because it's a song that I love, and I think there's just different things for each year. But like 97 Rebas, there's a couple really good ones, but it wasn't like they weren't spending a ton of time on this song. In those later years, because they were just busy jamming other shit. So I think of it much more as like an early 90s song for really great versions. But I don't know.
You can't sell it short. This is the fourth or fifth or sixth song in this first set. And it seems to be a pretty commonplace. And it's still 16 minutes long. And it's got wonderful content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can't sell it short. Content. But
I just don't think they played. Yeah, they just didn't jam it as much. Like it was just sort of something they ran through for a lot of
one of the things that doesn't make it a top tier Reba for me was that there's a little, I don't have the minute mark, but maybe around the 10 minute mark, there was kind of this repetitive, again, maybe downbeat or whatever you call it, where Mike and Trey and Fish and Mike and maybe even Trey were kind of like hitting a fourth, or maybe I'm just making shit up, but it was really repetitive, right? For a good 30 seconds or something. Do you guys recall that portion of the jam?
You think that lowers its status?
It's just not as interesting.
I really like that shit. I was oh, this is cool.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's different. It stuck out.
That elevated it for me.
It stuck out for sure, but I don't think it takes it to like a,
well, I'm not saying
the
it's
next level Reba.
Tier one, but whatever that is, you know, tier, I'm not a ranker.
Yeah, we don't tier shit around here.
We don't tier shit.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I
liked it.
I like that little part that we were just talking about, but I prefer the sort of very dynamic, huge build, soaring Rebas that they probably perfected. I think RJ, you're right, by 95 or so, and it's never. I don't want to say they don't try, but like Reba and David Bowie, for some reason, I just feel like maybe even the band acknowledges, like, they kind of had their best days back then, and they're still great songs and they can play the shit out of them, but you're never going to reach those heights. Like, I've come to terms. Reeve is one of my favorite songs. It's one of the songs that I latched onto when I was first getting into the band, and I've sort of acknowledged that, like, I'm never going to hear something like they, you know, some of my favorite versions from back then. I don't know if that's because, like, the playing bigger rooms thing, you know, affected that, because it loses the, they lose their ability to go really, really, really quiet and have the effect of building it up so big. But it is cool that they adapted it over the years. And so here, you know, you see some of the 98 kind of laid back groove ambience creeping in. It's not, I'm not going to say it's one of my favorite Rebas, but it's really good, especially for the era.
If I could give you a little bit of hope, Matt, one might have said the same thing about Split Open and Melt. Different kind of sound, but a song that didn't seem like it was going to do great, great things again, and hadn't for a while, and very recently has come back strong. So
it is, although it's very different than those other versions. So I think same kind of thing. If you really, really dug the way that they played it back then, it's just it's not going to happen, which is okay. That's progress.
Yeah,
it's
development. That band's gone.
Yep. I think Bowie is the song like that the most for me, because I loved hearing Bowie's, and it's just like, yeah, they just run through it and it's cool, like peaky, and you know, that's the nice, like, the ending is great, but yeah, it's had its time. Speaking so before we get into the next set, the little segment of music, I just wanted to share something. Brad and I, we had a very unique college experience, because we were roommates and we used to listen to Phish music, and then we would eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so happy to have Ben and Jerry's as a partner for a bunch of Osiris podcasts, because it reminds me of back in the day of, like, listening to Phish and getting into music, and just for some reason, with no other connection, it just, you know, ice cream and Phish go together. But Brad,
but fair to say, for you, ice cream and fucking everything goes together.
That's true,
right?
That's very true. Yes, that's very true. I really like it. But that's why we're really happy to have Ben and Jerry's as a sponsor. And people already know they can get free shipping any order over $50 using the Osiris code, store.benjerry.com. And I'm not going to make any hippie references to, you know, ice cream goes well with, you know, drugs and whatever. It's just simply good with music. And you can also get an It's Ice Tea, which has a t-shirt, which has a Jim Pollock design on it. So anyway, check out Ben and Jerry's. So Matt,
love it.
Matt, I have a question.
I may have an answer.
I've heard that getting contact lenses is a pain in the ass, and I think that's why Jonathan has never gotten them, because he's been wearing glasses, because he doesn't want to go through the hassle. It's a hassle, right?
It's a hassle, the whole thing from start to finish. I mean, the prescription process, trying to stay on top of it, it's got to stay current. Once it's a year old, you can't just order up more like I want to in this day and age. So I've done, like, the stupidest things, like waiting for, like, the 364th day that I've had a prescription, and then going onto a website and ordering another year's supply so I don't have to go to a doctor. Because who wants to go to a doctor right now, right? I mean, like, I hate dealing with doctors. I'm sick right now. I probably have to go see a doctor soon. I don't want to do it.
Seriously.
No one wants to go to the doctor. So we have a sponsor called Simple Contacts. If you go to simplecontacts.com/HFpod, so what they do, and we talked about this last episode too, you take an online vision test, which apparently takes 5 minutes, and then an actual doctor reviews it, renews your prescription. You get whatever kind of contacts you want, and you don't have to deal with all the bullshit Matt's talking about. So I think you get $20 off if you use the HF pod link, which we'll also put in the show notes. So if you guys are listening and you're sitting, you know, in your doctor's office, just wishing that you didn't have to be there because you're waiting for your stupid prescription, then just go to Simple Contacts. Just
if
go
you're
to
tired Simple of the Contacts. Man keeping you down, just fucking go to the Simple Contacts.
I mean, I don't know if it's an optometrist, but one of those guys, is ruining your shit.
No, I mean, it's pretty cool, right? I told you last time I fired up the app. You do a vision test on your phone. You put your phone across the room just like you would with the eye chart in the doctor's office. You read off the eye chart. It takes a video of you reading the eye chart, and then it sends it to a doctor so they can actually check it. So, it's really cool. I've done some other things like this too, where you do like a mobile app doctor for, you know, get a quick prescription refilled or something like that. And this is definitely the way of the future. And I think Simple Contact is on the bleeding edge of making your eyes look good and helping you see things without having to go see some crusty old doctor.
Yeah,
that's the leading edge, not the bleeding edge, right? Did you say oh, I thought you said bleeding. Yeah, that's inappropriate.
Well, and Jonathan, maybe, you know, you have those glasses, you had them forever, maybe it's time to spruce it up a little bit, you know.
What are you trying to say?
We want to see you. We want to see your face.
We want to see you. I want to see you.
I have lovely frames, but you know what, my wife is actually going to order her next contacts from Simple Contacts.
Awesome. Cool. All right, guys, let's get back into the fish. So in the second set, this is what everyone has been waiting for, and we appreciate everyone listening to the Reba and the Yamar and talking about some other stuff with us. But this is where things get interesting and where Matt first discovered the beauty of the hijinks of fish, or at least this was one that you went back to, Matt, often. This, and we'll start with this little segment, but what do you want to say first, Matt, about this second set? I assume it's the second set that kind of hooked you on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, listening as an early fan, just the combination of really, really smooth progress throughout the set. You know, it kind of is one continuous start to end piece of music that never really ends. The going in and out of Wipeout, which shows definitely the humor of the band, but also the flawlessness with which they were able to just kind of pivot in and out of this within different songs. The drop into Mirror in the bathroom and then back into Chalk Dust Torture that we're about to listen to is another great example of that. I think if you like fish humor, this is probably a really good set for you, because you've got the Wipeout stuff, you've got Sanity, you've got Buffalo Bill, you've got, you know, lots of call and response kind of things going back and forth between Trey and Fishman around the Wipeouts. And then you cap it all off with a really, really, really killer jam. The Week Apart Groove is maybe one of the best Week Apart Grooves ever, if not the. Those are big words, but I mean, listen to it. It's killer, and I can't think of another version like it.
I think it tells us that although they're seasoned at this point, they're still very technical, right? The dexterity that Trey has, and they all show, and I like the word pivot, Matt, that they can go from song to song, and it's seamless in the second set. A little bit for everyone, I think, in the second set, no doubt about it.
Well, I think one thing, just Matt, when you were talking, I was thinking this set reminds me of two specific 95 shows, the 11-14, you know, with the Stash, Manteca Stash, and then the 12-14, which was Live Fish 1, obviously, with the, there wasn't a lot of like teases in there, but just how the you know, that whole thing, the Haley's NICU slave, like going in and out of those things so like seamlessly. And maybe because they were spending so much time in 97, particularly just jamming, they didn't do a lot of this kind of stuff between 95 and 98. So maybe that's why they remember it as fun, because it does, like, it's a little bit of a throwback for the band too.
Like I was saying before, it's about like how they feel on stage, right? Which may not be the same as what we feel. And if they're obviously having fun because they're making jokes and things like that and doing the Wipeout thing, which I'm sure is super fun for them. And that's what's going to stand out. I mean, the night that they play, Baker's Dozen was a great example. Everybody goes to the jam night, and Mike basically said like that wasn't his favorite night. I mean, Everybody loves the Lawn Boy jam and stuff, but like maybe just, you know, mood wise or the playing or whatever, it's just, it came out well, but you know, you don't love it in the moment, and another show may just feel
Mike was so over it.
Exactly.
So should we say, you know, I'm going to take this moment before we get into some rock and roll music to say that I do recall at the time, friends coming back from these shows, and they were blown away. They were wowed by the whole sequence of this set. And man, they played Wipeout, and they kept going in and out of Wipeout, and it was crazy. And you know, generated a lot of excitement in the scene at the time.
Yeah.
So they liked it. I think a lot of people who were there liked it, and Matt still likes it. So
I do. And I did just do a quick spot check. If you include the entire sequence, wipe out the what Fishnet calls the Weegapogra prize jam at the end and everything, that is the longest Weegapog ever played.
Wow. All right. Well, we're gonna listen to that, but first we're going to listen to a little bit of the beginning of the set. Should we get into that now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it. We'll be right back.
Holy crap. You know, I love an extended chalk dust, guys. Have I ever told you that? Have I ever told you that?
Yes.
Hung skinny one?
No, I haven't actually told you that.
No, you haven't. That's
RJ's position.
It is.
But yeah, this is, that's some crazy ass shit that we just heard there. Mirror in the bathroom, really? I mean, really? That's a little, excuse the expression, on the nose, don't you think?
Can I tell you something? I had never heard that song before I listened to this set for the first time.
You aren't the only one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. And I mean that I haven't heard that song, but there's something going on here because they come out and they're just going nuts. Like they start Chalk Dust and almost immediately they start playing Wipeout, and there's just, man. And I think Mike starts teasing Mirror in the Bathroom, right? In the Chalk Dust early on. So it is like, Brad, I think before we started talking, like it's chaotic. The whole thing is like, it's just wild. I mean, not in a bad way. It's just, it's hard to like track what's going on. And I think that's probably an indication they were having a pretty good time.
Only time they've ever played it, Mirror in the Bathroom.
And makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and it's 98, November. And it's, we talked about it, that the Buried Alive is very unfocused, right? And then they can't get through the chalk dust, without going back to everything. Right. Yeah. And then into, right. So yeah, it's crazy. It's great though. A lot of fun.
So Wipeout, worth noting was, of course, soundchecked, and we have actually a substantial soundcheck from this show. Otherwise, it was like a 722 show gap going back to 1991, which is that's crazy, a little bit,
right?
But you know, I don't know. They got the earworm on the bus or something, or somebody fiddled with it, and they had to play it in soundcheck, and then it just they couldn't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's a really good sound check. I'm sure when
huge sound
when
check.
Lawn Memo gets to doing that on his daily sound check podcast, that'll be an interesting one. That kind of sets the stage for the whole run. There's like they jam on Wipeout. They Trey teases Layla, which they'll play I think the next night with Seth Iacovone.
Two nights later.
Sorry.
It's okay. Come on, man.
It's all right. It's fine.
It's
a good one.
Again.
It's a good one. But here's a great example of what I was talking about. So that, you know, they play Buried Alive and then they play Wipeout, which was probably somewhat planned, when they were coming out for the set, but then they get into Chalk Dust. Trey starts teasing Wipeout during the first breakdown, and Mike immediately starts playing in harmony with them. It's like that level of show where like not even enough for just Trey to tease it, but like for Mike to instantly jump on it and start playing harmony lines with him
before the lyrics even, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really fantastic. And then the Mirror in the Bathroom, and then out of Mirror in the Bathroom into Chalk Dust Torture, just silky smooth.
What does that even mean? Like, have they been in a mirror in the back, or like, was there not a mirror in the back? I don't know. I don't even know what the song title means.
Well, I mean, if
it's about popping zits.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a teenager.
It's all about restaurants with glass tables where you can watch yourself eat.
Five star.
If that's what you're into.
Yeah. Right. Push on till the day.
Glass table in a five star room.
So
then into, as you mentioned, Matt, there's a couple different segments of the Chalk Dust, and like the second one there was like the sort of the Chalk Dust jam and then Dog Log and then back into Chalk Dust. Pretty wild.
And a weird Dog Log too. It's like a blues version of Dog Log.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one from the album, the as yet unreleased album.
I think
it's coming next Halloween.
We got to talk about all of the first of all, I failed to mention this old home place. From the first set was really late in the first set, right? But Dog Log and Buffalo Bill and I guess that's about it. Mirror in the Bathroom. Yeah, Sanity. Right. These are all they're oddly placed, I guess.
Yeah, they're goofing off. Yeah, they're just goofing off the whole show. Yeah. Being fucking goofballs the whole show. Just
fucking goofing off.
But Matt, things I think are about to get serious with this last thing we're about to listen to, right?
Yeah, we should dive into. We've already talked about it a couple times, but this is the week of Puck.
It's about to go down.
Matt's favorite week of Puck.
We'll be right back.
So tell me that wasn't awesome.
That wasn't awesome.
I didn't mean no. Literally.
I'm just following instructions. I don't really believe that.
Try it with a straight face, man.
The thing about a Weakapug jam is like you can only really jam if it's like super fast paced. It's got to stay fast paced. It's got to stay upbeat. It's got to like stay driving the whole time, right? And this is like the perfect mix of whatever was going on and high energy, and just they were also just playing really well. There were no flubs, or you know, they were just rocking. Matt, what was it about this that you think is particularly special?
Just incendiary playing from all of them. The tempo is so fast. There's a point at which in the first—
Wait, is that good or bad?
That's really good. Cool. There's a point in towards the beginning of the first jam in Weakapug where Paige plays like the fastest line I've ever heard him play on the clav. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you look, you know, getting back to the Wipeout thing, I love how when they go into Wipeout, when Fish does his solos, he does them with the Weakapug groove, right? With the wood blocks and everything, he kind of keeps that going so they can easily propel themselves back into it. They're obviously feeling it because they try to end the song and then they go back into the groove and start playing it again. And then you get into the 98 thing, right? So you've got the last like maybe 6 or 7 minutes of it, where you, if you're looking for that 98 ambient thing, there it is, in full force.
Yeah, definitely a highlight of the show, I think. Just really, really awesome. Jonathan, did you like it? Like it fine?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, absolutely I did. How could I not? I mean, really. Like, you know, I could question, you know, this being the high heights of the Pantheon for as a show overall if I wanted to, but there's no question this Weakapug groove thing here is pretty great.
All right, so now's the time where we have to have the conversation. Is Weakapug groove is Weakapug groove ever coming back? Are we going to get another Weakapug like this ever again? Or is that, does it like fall this?
They already did it once.
Yeah, or recently. Not like this, yeah. But I mean like a smoking Weakapug. Maybe in the Baker's Dozen there was one.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like they're just working their way through Mike's groove to just to give it a tune up, right? Mike's songs have gotten a lot more interesting recently. They sort of dropped Hydrogen for a while, but now that's back. So maybe we're going to see some amped up grooves.
Hold on. What, point to where Mike's songs have gotten more interesting? But no, Mike's
the Baker's Dozen. There were a couple from this summer too.
Yeah, there was a couple this year. That
Nashville.
This
year.
Good. Nashville.
Yeah.
The Mike's song. I'm talking about Mike's songs. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mike's songs.
Nashville.
Oh, this is, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See what I'm saying here? So
that's
no, but yeah, I think also it can be applied to Mike's song too, though. It hasn't been what it was. Nashville, obviously, so. 2 years ago. 2 years ago?
This year was pretty good, too.
When they had the... Yeah, so...
And the Mike song from the Baker's Dozen was one of the longest ever, probably, right? Wasn't it like 24 minutes or something?
Yeah, it went into that, into Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night, yeah. Like, that was pretty sweet. But yeah, I think I...
it's okay.
I generally think that we're on the same page, Brad, except that I disagree with you.
Yeah, mostly agree with you, except that I don't.
So guys, we're back. We went through all of 11/27/98. What do you guys think now? Like, Matt forced us to listen to this show because he listened to it a lot when he got into it, and we all cried, and then we got over it. What were some of your takeaways from going back to this show?
Soundcheck was incredible.
Oh, I didn't
super long. Yeah. No, I loved it. I like I said to start, I really liked the first set. I thought it was out there. It had the Dog Stole Things, the Vultures, stuff we didn't talk about. The Old Home Place, all those things I really loved of the first set, along with 11 Minute Ymir. What else do you want?
I really liked Old Home Place.
A late one for you.
I would say that, honestly, it makes me want to go listen to a real 98 show, like a 98 show that has what I look more of what I look for in 98 shows. But it's fun. I enjoyed it.
Matt?
I don't know. I mean, I'm let down. I thought that you guys would like this, so I need to try harder. No, I love this type of show. I love the playfulness. I love the solid playing throughout. I love the dedication to the sort of themes that they pick up. And, you know, I mean, they're four really, really goofy dudes, just like a lot of us. And so the fact that, you know, in front of an arena full of people, they can jokingly go in and out of Wipeout as a running gag, but also make it musically amazing. That's a big part of why I fell in love with the band. Also, there is great video of big chunks of this show on YouTube, which you should go check out, because you can kind of see how the jovial mood. It's a little bit more clear when you actually get to visually see them. But check out the video of the Weegabog, because there's a debate, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, like in the YouTube comments, there's a point at which Trey mouths something to somebody in the audience. And you just have to go watch it and tell us what you think. Tell us what you think he's saying, because it's kind of funny, and I don't know where it came from, but I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, we're gonna.
Now there's a mystery hanging.
Yeah,
around.
I know.
Jesus. It's a mystery.
What the like hell Tom's, is that?
This is like Tom Santos episode.
This is the interactive part of the episode.
Yeah. Right? And if you made it this far on the journey with us, you should probably go check out that YouTube video.
You should,
because it means that you really like us, which we appreciate.
Or you really like this Fish concert.
Yeah, either or, but
they might
not
like us now after all the things we've said about the show.
It's really just us giving Matt a hard time. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I think I'm glad that we dug into it a little bit, because I think on the surface, looking at the set list and having listened to it a few times, I was like, whatever, I don't need to go back to it. So thank you, Matt, for allowing us to dive back into it and listen to it again. And
I will say that Matt is right. They are definitely having a lot of fun, and it's always nice to hear them.
It's a great point.
A lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. It's not about us. It's about them.
Speaking of having a lot of fun, Brad, it was really fun to have you here.
Yeah, I mean, you can see why I'm a limited participant. My what I contribute is limited.
That's the secret. That's why we only let you on every fifth show. That's awesome. Brad, you just compile the notes for like weeks. Like, I got this one thing. I just want to say this stuff. One thing.
How'd the recount go, Brad?
In Arizona? Blue wave, bro. The blue
beard
wave.
Party, yeah.
The beard.
Oh, yeah.
You have had some just excellent adventures recently, but we're glad to have you back. Yeah.
No, it's wonderful. And even when I'm not on them, I listen. You know that.
I'm sorry. So, guys, we should say that if anyone listening hasn't given us a review on Apple Podcasts or other devices or apps or other things where you listen to things, you should do that. And what else do you want to tell people? Anything?
They could find us on Twitter under HFPod.
Yes.
Yep. Check out all the Osiris podcasts. They're all wonderful and expertly cultivated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you sneeze or cough, do it into your elbow. It's cold and flu season, people.
Yeah, and wash your damn hands, people. Come on.
I've been trying to teach Miles that over and over. He's almost got it. It takes him a while, but all right. So don't spread your germs, and thanks for listening.
I'm in DC in 2 weeks. Come see us.
Actually,
it's the epicenter of the HF pod, but for me.
Maybe we can record something, Brad, while you're here. Yeah. That'd be lovely. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. We have some interesting stuff planned for December, I think. We've already started talking about it. Everyone looks confused, but remember the thing, the cool thing?
Right, of course. People are going to love that.
Yeah, the awesome thing. So stay tuned for the awesome thing, and thanks for your support and for listening. Keep on rocking.
Osiris.